up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative. Today we're with Charlie Hickman of the Charlie Hickman Band. What's up, man?
What's going on, dude? Good to be here.
Hell yeah. How you been? Keeping busy out there?
Been good, man. Been good. Yeah. Super busy.
Good, good. How's Stillwater doing? Are you in Stillwater?
I actually live, about 30 miles southeast of Stillwater in a town called Cushing.
Cushing, okay.
Cushing, Oklahoma. Yeah, we're famous for being the pipeline capital of the world.
Ooh. Well, that's cooler than where I live. I live in Erlanger, Kentucky, and we're not famous for fucking anything. So,
but, I got you.
Yeah, but dude, let's start at the beginning. Just so people who don't know you, or we'll get you to know you. I guess let's just get started with what got you into writing music and like writing your own like original stuff.
So I was born into a really musical family from the get go. So I've always just kind of been around music, and my dad was a school teacher. My mom was a school teacher. They were both, my dad was a worship leader in a church. So I've been around music a long time. But, as far as writing goes, I think I started when I was probably in like fourth, fifth, sixth grade, kind of about the time they introduced, you know, poetry and stuff like that. So okay. I've probably been writing around that time. That's when I started.
Did you write like poetry before you played?
Yeah, I mean, I think in my head, I'm sure I thought they were songs, but, you know, they weren't like anything to write home about or nothing. But, yeah, I think I've always written poetry in a sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So where'd you, when you started to like, you know, kick off and start like playing, I guess first, where'd you meet your band? Did you start out on your own or did you have a band right away?
No, so there was two cousins, Terry Bradley and Dusty Bradley, and we all played and grew up together in church, played in the church band. So we kind of started in that area, but they were with me for a couple years, and then they went and did their own thing. So, but I kind of had them. I was really fortunate. I had, you know, people who were like minded, and they really helped me learn how to play, and that's where it all started for the band.
Did you, where'd you start, like cutting your teeth at, like what venues? I know you're a big Stillwater guy. That's kind of how I got, in touch with you way in the beginning when I first heard of you. And, I guess let's start with Stillwater. I lived there for a short period of time a few years back, and that's kind of how I even discovered like Red Dirt music, and then, you know, branching off to that and the Texas music and everything. So I could put that on, Stillwater, and man, I love that place. And the music scene there is incredible. Is that where you started?
I did, yeah. I started, the very first gig I think I ever did was at a place, and it was off the strip. It was downtown Stillwater called Draft Days, and it's not there anymore. It changed hands a couple different times. But I started playing acoustic there, but I would also hit up all the open mics in Stillwater. So like Willie's Saloon, Great White Buffalo, those were the two ones I frequented a lot, 2015, 2014, 2016, somewhere in that area. And I mean, like at the same time, you know, we were playing these open mics, like Jeremy Nip would be there, Reed Southall would be there, you know, Ben Brock, Ben McKenzie. I mean, like just all these different really, really good songwriters, you know? So, it was pretty cool getting to come up around all them as well and just see how they played and how they wrote, and super friendly dudes too. But yeah, the open mics were a huge part of kicking off for me.
So Draft Days, what's that now?
So it was Draft Days, and then it changed to a place called the Pink Parrot. And then I think it swapped from Pink Parrot to something else. Now it's something else, but it's downtown, just up the street from like, what is that? Oh man, I can't think of the name of it. There's a restaurant downtown that's just right up the road from there.
It ain't that place under where the Wormy Dog used to be, is it? There's like a pink place there. I don't know. I remember walking by it. It looked like, I don't know what it was.
It's up the road from Louie's Bar and Grill.
Yeah. Oh, you know Louie's is so about? Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. But yeah, you mentioned, guys like Jeremy Nip and, you know, Southall, all them guys. That's like the coolest thing about that area to me is even branching off into like the guys popping off now. Cause obviously, you know, Southall has been popping off for a while,
sure.
But
yeah,
like
man.
Now you got guys like Josh Malloy, he's big now. guys like Trenton Fletcher, guys like Ganna Freeman, all them guys. It's like, is there a there has to be like a real brotherhood there, or is it more of like a competition? How do you look at it?
No, so the way that I see it, like, we're all so different. Like, our sounds are so different. They're really like, you'd be comparing apples to oranges in most cases, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like, Matt Williams doesn't sound like Gannon. Gannon doesn't sound like Trenton. Trenton doesn't sound like Josh. Josh doesn't sound like Reed. I mean, everyone's just got this different, and it's cool because everyone's just kind of bringing their life experience and putting it into how they, you know, they sound. So, I think it's really cool. I really enjoy talking to those guys. Like, I met Gannon and them super young. We were all just starting off, and there was actually a music festival here in Cushing where I live. And, those dudes were like 19, 20, you know, stumbling out of the van. And
they're good.
Yeah, dude. They are, man. But those guys, they're some great guys. And yeah, we just hit it off. We were friends, you know, from the start. So it's really cool seeing those guys just blow up. It's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And like going off that, like when I think of like Red Dirt, and this is just me being I was an implant for a while. You know, I'm from Kentucky. So I'm moving down there. I just kind of got dropped into the middle of it.
Oh, for
and
sure.
Like, yeah. And like just going back and like researching, like going back to like, you know, Ragweed and going to Jason Bolin and all them guys. It's like, I feel like now, and I'd like your opinion on this. Is there like a new, like another, like with Ragweed, you had a big resurgence, right? And then it like kind of maybe dropped off a bit. And now you got like, then you got like Reed, all them guys. And now you got like you, Trenton, like all the guys you just mentioned. It's a lot of like really kick-ass artists coming out of that one area. So what do you, like, your opinion on, like, the state of, like, Red Dirt right now? Like, how would you view it? Like, is it, like, a big thing's coming, or how do you think?
Yeah, so you had the first, you know, like, your Bolins and your Ragweeds, and, like, obviously a lot of us were influenced in one way or another by those people. So I think what you have is just, like, this collective, you know, place in Stillwater where everyone's kind of taking their influences and kind of molding it, just like those original guys did, Cody Canada's and your mm-hmm. your Great Divides, and I mean they just took so much and added it into a country sound. I wouldn't call it country, but that's what a lot of people around here, you know, would say. Right. But this new wave, it's like it's similar in a sense, but at the same time, I think with the inventions that we have these days, your modern technologies, it's just kind of a different feel type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's cool though. I mean, it's really cool because you have so much more access to a lot of these things now. But it does kind of reminisce a little bit of the old days of, you know, those guys coming up, and it's cool to see this new wave.
Yeah, especially with like, it's like you said, you guys all sound different. Like you got, like you have your own sound. Matt Williams, he has his own sound. It's like, it's really, and seeing all of you guys on like maybe like a one bill together, like that would be, you know, that's what Red Dirt is. Like there's no, people call it, think it's country right away. And sure, there's country roots to it, of course. It's in Oklahoma. Yeah. But it's like at the same time, it's like you can't really, Ragweed doesn't sound like Jason Bolin. You know what I mean? Like, but they're all in the same, they're all putting the same kind of thing. And go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, like, so a lot of people, they will, you know, clump Red Dirt like into a genre. And I would kind of have to disagree. I don't think Red Dirt is necessarily a genre more than it is a location. Mm-hmm. Just because you can't put a genre limitation on what Red Dirt is. It's so different than everything else. Like, you've got your country, you've got your Southern rock, you've got, you know, some of these people are bringing blues into it. Some of them are bringing a little bit of R&B into it. I mean, it's just so different, you know?
Yeah. So to you, what makes Stillwater so different than like other towns, like a Dallas, Fort Worth area? Like what does Stillwater mean? Like when it comes to creativity and influence?
Stillwater is a much smaller area than I think a lot of those other places are. Like you can run around Fort Worth and run into other artists and stuff, but especially like in the Stockyards, but it's still such a spread out area compared to Stillwater, where really all the music happens in mainly one location. be in the Strip, or whether it's out at, you know, the Tumbleweed, or maybe Great White Buffalo. But it's really, it's a smaller setting, I would say. It's kind of where you run into more people. You have the opportunity to kind of stay longer in a sense, and kind of see different things play out kind of week after week instead of maybe one visit at a time. So I don't know. I think it's just kind of there's just not a whole lot of space, and that has helped.
Yeah.
There's also been a lot of older riders like your, I can't think of anything today. Gene Collier. Collier wrote Boys from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. He lives in Cushing, where I'm from, and they used to do a Tuesday night music club, and he still does it, I think, over in Drumright. I haven't been to it in a long time, but you know, you get to sit down with these guys who have been around the scene for a long time and have seen all these different phases of it. So you learn a lot from them too.
Yeah. And another a cool thing is that, like, Ray's Rowdy is based in Nashville, so like I'm down there too. Kind of, I'm much more of a, sorry, my Nashville friends, but I'm much more of a, you know, Texas, Oklahoma guy. But,
oh, dude, yeah.
But the thing is that in Nashville, obviously, massive area with a bunch of massive talent, with a bunch of different kinds of varieties of music. But if you take that and put it into Stillwater, like you said, a smaller area, a more like it's like this versus that. I'm sure the audio listeners would love that example, but it's just cool because like that, like you said, there's more of a focus on you. Like you'll see these artists like around town, like, oh, he's going to play here, I'm going to go check him out. And that's what it kind of, it's like a jump pad. I think, is that accurate to like help you move up to the next level?
I think, yeah, absolutely. You know, Stillwater is really cool. It used to be, I don't frequent Stillwater as much as I used to, mm-hmm. just, you know, getting older and growing up and full-time job and whatever else. But it used to be where, you know, you would play these places and it was just people offered you experience when you needed it. You know what I'm saying? Like you could go and play these Tuesday night shows or these Wednesday night open mics, and you could just garner this much needed experience on a stage where, yeah, there was eyes on you, but it also wasn't like so, you know, condemning if you made a mistake, I guess.
Right.
It was just a good cultivation. You know, there was a good area to be cultivated in and to learn and experience different things on stage. And I mean, a jump pad would be probably a pretty good word for it.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you a bit about one of my favorite experiences when I was living out there, and that's Calf Fry and the Tumbleweed. So I came in for a trip, like, man, I don't know what year it is. It's probably like 2021, 2022. You were playing the After Party, I think.
21.
Yeah, so I came in for a trip I think I went to Stillwater to go to Tulsa the next day to see Austin Mead.
And okay.
Calf Fry just happened to be going on. So I was like, I texted Jeremy Nip and he said, yeah, come on, we'll, you know, come on over to the Tumbleweed. We'll check it out. So we went over there and we went back into the After Party and I accidentally stumbled upon you guys. And that's how I first, like, that's the only time I ever seen you.
Yeah.
Complete accident. But man, you guys ripped it up. So I guess what have you played since Calf Fry? I think you have, haven't you?
Yeah, so we played last Friday, last year's Friday, on Friday. So it was us and Treaty Oak was there and Giovanni and Southall.
Oh, wow. Killer lineup.
So that, dude, it was awesome. Like, not just saying that because it was, you know, a dream come true for me to just be on the bill, but like on the main stage bill. Like, I dreamed about that since high school, you know, but like, to be on the bill with, you know, these other guys who have been doing it and, you know, just the experience that they have like that. It was really cool. It was a cool night. But 2021, that was quite the time.
Yeah, man, it was, I didn't know what I was walking in. Cause I went to a Calf Fry just as like, you know, like before I even started this kind of stuff back in like, man, this probably was probably 2019, 20, something like that. And it was actually Turnpike. I remember headlined one of the nights, and this was like a week before they went on hiatus. So that's how long ago that was. And like, I'm like, I got to get back here. And then when I did, I just stumbled upon all the tomfoolery and degens back behind stage. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is a culture back here for sure.
So, but, dude, we didn't like half the people that were back there. We had no idea who they were. Like, it was just packed, you know, yeah. Like, it was almost like you were performing to two different crowds. Like, that's what I remember about that night is, like, we would perform, you know, and just go buck wild out front. And then you turn to the side of stage and you'd see, like, people you're friends with. And so you'd go over there and, you know, and, like, have a thing with them and then go back to the front of stage. So, like, that was a really cool night. We didn't know any of those people, like, hardly, but that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a wonder half of them probably just snuck in, because if I remember right, it's just like a gate to the right of the tumbleweed, just walk past. But
there's a security guard.
Yeah, the security guard that day was Jeremy Nip, and he just said, "Come on in."
dude, I love Jeremy. He's funny. Yeah. He's a good dude.
Yeah. So I guess with the because the after party was it like in the tumbleweed. So yeah. I guess we'll bring up the tumbleweed, man. Like that was. I've been to a lot of concerts all over, and like the Tumbleweed is probably my favorite venue, man. It's just the history behind it and just the vibe you get. Like, what do you remember? When was the first time you played the Tumbleweed?
The first time we played the Tumbleweed was in 2016.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that was like, we had just started playing full band, and I want to say that it was one of those like weird battle of the bands things. Mm. And Ben McKenzie, so Jeremy Nip was playing bass for Ben McKenzie, who was also entered into this thing, and we didn't know, you know, anything. We didn't know what we were doing, let alone how we ended up winning the thing. I don't know. I mean, we won, but there was like three bands there. I mean, it was just like one of those deals. Tumbleweed only had hosted it too. Like, it wasn't like, you know, like they're doing it now, like Tumbleweed's doing an actual battle of the bands now, but this was like something different. But we ended up, that was the first time we had played there. And then we had played there, I think we'd played there like 2018, 2019, 2020. And then after that, it just like everything went dead because of COVID.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I love playing the Tumbleweed. I'll go anytime they call.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. And then you mentioned that you played the main stage. So like that had to have been incredible, like you said. What was going through your mind or your nerves when you were up there for that?
Man, I was just so, you know, first of all, just blessed and thankful to be there, because I had, you know, really worked hard at maintaining a good relationship with the Tumbleweed and doing everything I needed to do as an artist and to, you know, to get myself to that spot to be, you know, even a good choice for a main stage at the Calf Fry. So, but I think I'd mentioned like that was a dream, you know, just a complete fever dream, you know, that happened. I mean, like I had just since high school, I mean, you know, I'd started really playing guitar at the age of like 13, 14 and started really writing around that time. And I mean, you just dream about going and playing the Calf Fry in Stillwater. I mean, that just, there's so much history there and, you know, it just, what a thing that is to do. And a lot of people, you know, don't get the opportunity to do that. So the fact that we were even considered was just like, man, you know, just what a blessing. So that was really cool. But I remember being backstage, you know, before the whole thing kicked off, and there was a band before us, and we were like at the 6:30 slot, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So like sun super bright, just beaming, you know, beating down on you. It was ridiculously hot that day. I was wearing all black because you're in a band, why not? I just remember it being everything that I'd hoped it would be. I mean, just a awesome, awesome show.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just incredible. Like being like, just as a fan, because you got the college kids and this is in what, May? Ain't it in May? Beginning of May?
Beginning of May.
So like they're all, I guess they'd be leaving school and that's like their final hurrah or something. So like, You get quite a rambunctious crowd out there. So I'd figure the live aspect has, you just feed off of it.
Oh, dude. Yeah. And, you know, even that early in the day, I mean, there was still probably halfway through the set, there had to have been 4,000 to 5,000 people there. Jesus. I mean, so not only get to be on the stage, but also get to, you know, share your music with that kind of a crowd in that capacity was just dream come true, man. I mean, you know, miracles happen every day.
That's right, brother. Are there any other like artists that you like really like to work with, whether it be like co-writing or anything like that come to mind?
So there's a guy out of Southwest Oklahoma named Cade Roth. Have you ever heard of Cade Roth?
I've not.
Dude, look him up. Cade Roth and the Black Sheep. He is, first of all, a sweetheart of a human being, but secondly, just an incredible musician. I mean, he really, like, Memphis style mixed with Red Dirt, like the soul in that dude's voice. I mean, just gritty, and just that dude's got it going on. He's going to blow up one of these days. I'm calling that.
Yeah.
But we actually wrote, I'd sent him our song called Falling Like Flying.
Yeah.
I'd sent him that, and then he actually wrote half of the third verse. So we'd kind of collaborated a little bit on that. And I've been playing, we've been doing shows together for quite a while. So I really enjoy working with Cade Roth. But I mean, there's a ton of people I like to play with. Adara Kay, are you familiar with her?
I know the name. I don't know the work, though.
Yeah, she's from Southern Oklahoma. I love doing song swaps and stuff with her. There's a guy out of Bristow named Chris Matthews. I like doing stuff with him.
I know him.
You know Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man. He's a good dude. He's just such a different style, too. Like, he's kind of, he leans more towards that, like, Ryan Bingham-esque style. And it's just so different. And you just like, man, that's cool. It's cool to hear. So. Yeah. But, you know, Matt Williams, we haven't got to do any full band stuff together. I think we've done an acoustic thing once or twice.
Yeah. I haven't talked to Matt in a while. He's a talented dude. Talented
dude. Him and Mason both.
Mason. Yeah.
Yeah. Mason fills in every once in a while for me on guitar. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I love the Williams brothers. Those are good dudes, man.
Yeah. So when I listen to your music, especially like, you know, with each release that comes out, it's much like a lot of other, you know, like a lot of your peers out there, there is like a rock aspect to it. You know what I mean? Like when you think of like how we talked about earlier, like people put Red Dirt and that stuff into the country realm. But like you have your own sound, you have like a rock leaning attitude or style towards it. Is that something that naturally happened, or is that like a progression that like you kind of had in the back of your head, like I want to do this, or did it just pop out one day?
No, so it really kind of started. We had done the very first EP, the Coming Home EP. We did that one, and it was more, you know, you kind of imitate your heroes when you're first starting. And I was listening to like a ton of Randy Rogers around that time period. I loved Randy Rogers. I still love Randy Rogers. One of the best songwriters to do it, you know.
Yeah.
But it kind of came out more in that style, I think, because that's what I was listening to at the time. But I remember sitting in the control room and hearing that back and just like, man, that doesn't sound like me. You know what I mean? It's just like one of those things for like, man, I don't know. It just doesn't sound like me. So I think as time progressed and as experiences progressed and different things happened, that it really just kind of worked itself out naturally. There wasn't really ever a definitive time where we were like, oh, we need to change our sound.
Yeah.
It was just kind of a natural thing, just a progression of things. And, it was really cool getting to find that sound without having really any sort of outside influences either. Like all the influences that we, you know, mold together, were just what we, you know, what we did growing up, like what we listened to growing up. And like, I was really heavily influenced in my high school years by like alternative rock. So like, Modest Mouse, Switchfoot, My Chemical Romance, you know, just like that kind of alt sound. So I think a lot of that just kind of started popping out as time went on.
Yeah. And is that when you want to move on to, like you said, you wanted like your first EP, you said that it didn't really feel like you. Is that something that you have to like, does your whole band kind of just like they go along with it? Is that something you have to discuss amongst the band? Like, here's what I want to do. Or like, how's that all work with the cohesion of the band?
So as it happened in this instance, I'm probably, you know, probably different for everybody, but as it happened in this instance, the, I would write a song or like, I'd be going, like my songwriting is very much what I've been through, what I've experienced or what I've seen, kind of a firsthand experience of everything really. So what would happen is I'd be going through something and then I would, you know, write this song and be like, hey, here's the chords to it or whatever else. And then it would just kind of gel together after that. So it was more of a natural progression of things versus of like, hey, I think it needs to be like this, or I think it needs to be like that. It just kind of how it came together is how it came together. And that's what was really cool about it is like every time we would write something new or I would write something new and then I'd take it to them, it would just naturally progress in a way that you're like, I would have never guessed, you know? So
yeah, like a pleasant surprise kind of.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, I didn't see this coming, but I'm glad it's here.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about, I know it's been out since, I think, November, but Smoke and Mirrors, your last release, I believe, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
All right, good. Glad I got that right. I thought so. But so like we were talking about, that has that kind of alt rock kind of sounding deal to it. Is that like, is this a direction that you're dead set on? Or is it, are you always open to anything?
Yeah, so I have a very unique wide range of influences, mainly because of my dad was born in 53. My mom was born in 63. I was raised in the church around like hymns and, but my dad being from that generation, like we listened to disco, we listened to Motown, we listened to, you know, just like a slew of things. And then like my grandpa introduced me to classic country at a very young age. So like there was just like a really wide range of influences. And the reason I say that is because we are currently in the process of going to studio to record a new EP, maybe an album. We don't, I mean, you know, what the money allows, but right. we are every song that's on this new project is like completely different than the last song on that project and completely different than anything we've ever put out. So it's just like this whole thing of like, hey, we've got all these influences. I'm still writing music just kind of off the wall and randomly as far as like progressions go and keys and stuff like that. So it's really just like, it's just everything's so different than the next thing. So like, as far as pursuing one thing, probably never going to hear anything of the same thing twice, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. But dude, that's what's beautiful about, that's what I love about just like, not even just you guys, but like music in general. I think that that's what separates like an actual artist from like someone who's just going through the motions, unless you're like AC/DC and you know the formula and you know what's going to sell. But like, like people who can make like, and like I bring him up again because I talked to him last week, Austin Mead, like his past, every album he's put out is different and like it works in his own way. And I feel like that's what like you guys have been doing like with each release. So no, that's an awesome thing that just progression, like just, but if you find your sound, wonderful, but like you could still like up the ante on it. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. And I don't think that like finding your sound really ties you to a sound. Mm-hmm. Finding your sound really just kind of in my opinion, just my opinion here, but finding your sound, I think has a lot more to do with how you tie a song together versus what it sounds like. I think that it's more of a direction of lyrics and a general melody versus like how it actually is coming out and what parameters someone can put on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I think a good example of that, and one of my favorite bands ever, I should have mentioned this prior, but Incubus. I love Incubus. Yeah. They have so many songs out that are just like, well, that sounds completely different than the last one. I don't even know how, you know what I mean? So it's like, I think that Incubus is a good example of that. Third Eye Blind is kind of a good example of that. Like just, they're so, everything is just so systematically different from the next thing. And, I think it's awesome. I love that.
So as a guy who is not only like, you got like the singer songwriters, right? But like you play, like you play your instrument, like you know what I mean? So like with going off that, do you put more focus, at least at the beginning stage of when you craft a song, on your lyrics, or do you lay down a riff first? How does your process usually go with that?
So I think I'm crazy. I will have these like melodies just pop into my head and I'll just start singing, you know, random with this melody that's just kind of appeared in my head. And then I'll take that to a guitar and then kind of start from there. So I think lyrically, I'll have something lyrically and I'll have something melodically before I have any idea of what I'm doing.
Okay.
So that's usually the way it starts for me. And I like, yeah, you can sit down and try to write a song, or I've in the past sat down and tried to write a song. Every time I've done that, it's just ended in utter failure. So I like to really, you know, and it sucks sometimes because you'll be weeks or months between songs, but it seems like it just comes so much easier whenever that song will come to you and you not try to force it out, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And like that, excuse me, I just burped. Yeah, and just coming from someone who can't write a song for shit, it just seems like I could kind of, the way I think of it is, if, because, you know, people say all the time, oh, yeah, this is where I go sit and write some songs. This is, you know, I'm going to go write a song today. It's like, that seems like to me, like, here's your assignment. Like, you're in school. Here's your homework. Yeah. It's like, no one wants to do that. You know what I mean?
No.
Is that kind of accurate?
Yeah, it seems like for me personally, because I think there's a lot of people who can write that way. I think that there's, you know, good examples of people who, you know, can meet a deadline. But for myself, I mean, I was just never much of a student, you know what I mean, in a sit down and just do it aspect. So I think for me, it puts a lot more creativity on the song itself whenever you let it come to you.
Yeah. And that's like a whole nother monster now that I think, because like some people, that's their job. They're songwriters and like they have deadlines to meet. And do you have any experience, not you like doing it personally, but do you know anyone who does that kind of stuff? That just seems like a very daunting thing to do.
I've known some people who have tried that, and it seems like your quantity to quality ratio is really off.
Okay.
It seems like from what I can say personally, that if you're just sitting there trying to pump something out, it kind of loses its quality in a way. Mm-hmm. Just because you're not taking as much time on it. You're not, you know, really reflecting on what it is that's being said. I think that that's a big problem with Nashville myself. I don't like the monster that it is, the machine that it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, like, I see music as an art form, you know, so it's not. Yeah, it being monetized is cool, but at the same time, are you willing to undercut what's important just for the dollar?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that that's kind of gross.
No, yeah, you're right. And it's funny you mentioned that, because I think Luke Combs was on Pat McAfee's show, of all things, and he was talking about that, about how there are, like in Nashville, like you have songwriters who that's their job. But like, God bless them, they're not making shit.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that just seems like a big lose-lose situation. Cause like with the stream, that's a whole nother problem. The streaming, getting paid for that.
Yeah.
It just seems like a big lose-lose situation to me. I just don't get it.
Well, and not only that, like you write all these songs, like let's say you sit down and you've got six of them you really like you personally have poured your heart and soul into them, and then you're pitching them to people and people are just like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Well, then that makes you feel like, well, what am I doing wrong? It's like, well, you didn't do anything wrong. You just did what you thought you needed to do. You said it how you wanted to say it. But the problem is that we have machined this whole thing, you know? So I don't really get down, you know, I think there's some great people in Nashville, but I don't really get down with the system.
Yeah, it's a totally different, have you ever been to Nashville?
I have not. I've been kind of through, but I've never been.
Yeah. And I'm not shitting on Nashville. Nashville's awesome. But like, you're right. Like, it's a totally different monster out there. It's so much more like the machine you said. It's like a very analytic out there. You know what I mean? Like, it's truly like you look at your guys' region. It's literally like the Wild West, like the way shit is. It's like, we're going to write what we want to write. We're going to play. And it actually succeeds. It's pretty sweet how that works. Like grassroots kind of deal, like independent kind of shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of the indie, you know, the independent stuff, which a lot of us kind of pride ourselves in. We don't have to do what anyone tells us to do. Like, there are ups and downs to that, obviously. But at the same time, at the end of the day, like, freedom is something that is, you know, not easily maintained. And I think that it's cool that there is an aspect of, you know, well, come try to tell me how to do it then.
And most of the time they can't. So let's go back to, I wanted to talk about Smoke and Mirrors. I listened to it again today just to, you know, refresh myself a bit. And
spruce up on it.
You got to do some research when you're in this business. But
Right.
So can you, what's that song mean to you? What was that about when you wrote it?
So the way that that all kind of came about, it's not, I tend to write about situations and then kind of put personification to a situation that may not have anything to do with what the song is actually saying, but it's something that I needed to say in a way that could be portrayed clearly by an audience, I guess. Mm-hmm. The way that all started, though, is that I was somewhere here in town, and I had seen this gal that I used to go to school with, and she had moved off, and she had, you know, been in like the northeastern states for quite a while, and then she came back to this region. And I think we were probably out of high school by this point, but like I was good friends with her in high school, and I just saw her walking. I don't know where we were, but I saw her somewhere. And that line, the very first line, "Hello, how you been? It's good to see you around again." Like that's where that came from.
Oh, sweet.
So I just kind of took that line and then ran with that.
Damn, that's crazy how that just falls into your lap like that.
I'm telling you, man. It's just like that's kind of how I ride. It's just like, I'll see somebody or I'll see something or I'll be reflecting on something that happened. And then just like a melody and a line will just come to me. And, it's up to me at that point to capitalize on it. But
yeah,
that's kind of how that went.
So where do you guys, where do you record out there?
So we've been, the Coming Home EP was done with a guy named Dave Copenhaver out at a place called Studio 7. That place doesn't exist anymore. But after that, all the, like, Tell Me Why and the Coming Home EP, or the Trouble EP and Smoke and Mirrors and Antique Souls was all done at Class and Recorders with Dwight Hamlin.
Okay, yeah.
Of White Lighters.
White Lighters, yep.
Yep. Yeah, so we've been doing some stuff with him and trying to get back in and do some more stuff with him, so...
Yeah, it took me way too long to figure out that was him in that band. And I thought it was just a big dipshit moment for me, but
he's a good
talented
dude,
guy, talented guy, talented band.
Oh man, talented singer songwriter. I mean, rips the guitar. It's just crazy.
Yeah. So, are you happy so far with like the reception that you've gotten with your releases?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we don't. I don't pour a whole lot of money into like promotion and marketing and anything like that, and not that I should. I just don't have a whole lot of money. Let's just clarify.
Right. You and me both.
You're right. So like, I would love to be able to, you know, to promote and market and stuff like that. But at this point in time, I just don't have the means to do so. So everything really has been kind of a grassroots, I guess, for a lack of a better term. But just like I'm putting it out and I'm promoting it as much as I can, just by myself, I guess. So I think as far as like just being able to go and promoting these songs, just playing live or just posting, you know, on my own socials or whatever, they have been received very well, just considering that.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And like, I could tell you, as someone who loves to cover your shit, like, it's great, great music. And,
hey, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. I'm glad I came across it. What about, you could always, like everyone else is, you going to hop on the TikTok train?
I do have a TikTok. I do. Oh, I have one. Yeah, I have one. I don't use it, the way that most people do, I guess. It's just like, I don't like the gimmicky stuff. Like if it works for you, that's great. It's just not me personally, you know, like I try really hard just to stick to the facts and, you know, post videos that, you know, from show recaps or whatever else. But as far as like the trends and all that crap, I don't really keep up with that.
Yeah. Some people can own it. Some people can't. I know, you know, Mitchell Ferguson.
I do know Mitchell Ferguson. Well, I know of him. And yeah, that dude does it awesomely. He does it really well.
I think he's like a wizard with that shit. Like he was like, first off, his music is like, honestly, I think it's genius. He's one of my favorite artists, like all of last year. Like this dude is putting out solid shit. And then he goes on TikTok and makes like hilarious skits. He goes on live and like plays a video game. And like, he has like thousands of people who just know him from the video game too. It's like, he's got to figure it out. But I mean, that takes a special kind of person to figure that shit out. But,
yeah. And, dude, like I said, no hate to anybody who does it that way. I'm just not wired that way, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I think very few of us are.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people though got the promotion side of it figured out, and I mean, like I said, hats off to them.
Yeah. So what does this year look? It's about to be April. It's going to warm up soon. Get like festival season and shit. What's this year looking like for you guys? What are you trying to accomplish?
So we're really trying to focus on getting into studio, working through, you know, hopefully 6 to 8 maybe songs, and just really trying to our main goal is on trying to get new music out. I guess mm-hmm. that's a good kind of a pinpoint for 2024. We are still doing, you know, live shows as much as we can. I do a lot of acoustic stuff myself. That's kind of just one of my forms of income. I also am a carpenter during the week. So just trying to get, you know, some good full band stuff going. We've done some runs to Texas already this year. We like to go to Texas. So we work with an agent out of Texas, and we go down there probably once, twice a month. So we're doing some runs in Texas but mainly just trying to focus on that music. And, you know, I'm always down to write more and just trying to, you know, keep at it.
Yeah. So let's talk about it, man. What can you tell us about your music coming up? Anything you could hint for us?
We've got one that's in the mixing process right now. We're going to release probably 2 singles before we really drop anything in bulk. So mm-hmm. we're going to have some more stuff come out. We're looking at like maybe a June 1st release on this next one. It's called The River. It's kind of more of a rocking summertime song. We were at a sound check in somewhere in Texas. I don't even remember where. My bass player left us. He went back home. It was and my drummer and my guitar player, and we're sitting there in the sound check. And I actually told this story at Calf Ride 21. I was just like, yeah, we just wrote this song in like 5 minutes at a sound check one time. So it's that song, and we've been sitting on it for like 3 or 4 years. So it's just about ready to come out.
Awesome. Damn, yeah. Dude.
So
go ahead.
We've got that going on, and then we've got I'd love to do 8 more, just get them out there into existence. But I've got this guitar player out of Oklahoma City right now named Chris Smith, and he's a wizard at writing guitar parts, and we've got some really cool stuff coming up. I'm really excited about. So
awesome. That's exciting, man. Wait, so like, and you don't have to get into it if it's dramatic. He just left during the sound check? Like done?
Oh no. So we were doing a show the night prior, and I was like, hey, this thing came up, like we can make some more money. And he was like, nah, dude, I'm out. So he just drove back to Oklahoma. And we were just like, well, we're gonna go play it.
Well, glad it worked out.
Yeah, no, it was great. We were all, you know, we're all still friends.
All right, cool. What about any cool like shows or festivals you got in the midst coming up? Or
we don't have it, so we're not on any festivals as of right now. We always do in July, we always do a show at the Illinois River in Tahlequah at Diamond Head Resort. So we always look forward to doing that. That's in July. We got some stuff coming up in Stillwater next month, and we got some, you know, some shows just coming up, just some regular full band stuff and a bunch of acoustic stuff. But as far as like the festival thing, we just kind of missed out on that this year, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, and you talked about how you love playing Calf Fry, but like, I hear a lot of artists who love festivals, playing festivals, but some of them just say, God, that was hard to get through, I guess, whether it's the heat, whether it's the condition. I don't know. I guess.
If you've got a bill with 4 other bands or 5 other bands or whatever, you're just like throwing your stuff on, throwing your stuff off, and then trying to get the next one on. And sometimes sound check, you know, is just a blow and go, and you don't get everything kind of figured out the way you need it to. So like, yeah, there are some downsides, but Calf Fry, the thing with that is Steve Carr, who has been running sound at Calf Fry forever, a wonderful human being. And he's a great person to work with, and he just mm-hmm. makes sure everything is how it's supposed to be. So like, we didn't have any trouble with that, but I definitely could understand where there would be some frustration.
Yeah, for sure. And like, it's funny, cause I've seen Calf Fry, and I've also been to like Rocklahoma, and then Louder Than Life I've been to, this past September. And it, and you know, of course, Larger Than Life is like three times bigger than Calf Fry, and they have like five stages. And dude, it just, it's so like by the book, like one band off, one band on. It's a wonder how they even organize. I know that's a big, like, you know, that's a huge production they put together. They certainly have the people for it, but man, it just seems, it seems if one thing's off, I feel like it'll just throw everything else off.
It it can go downhill in a hurry, you know. And the good thing is, though, is usually you get a festival like that, you've hired in people who know what they're doing. So
yeah.
I would say more often than not, it probably goes on without a hitch. But, you know, too, the weather plays a big factor in all that, too. Outdoor festivals and Oklahoma, like last year, there was a festival, Southwest Oklahoma, just got destroyed by a tornado.
Oh, what was
that? You know
that?
I can't remember the name of the festival.
It was a rock festival, wasn't it?
Or
maybe it wasn't.
I think it was more of a kind of a Texas Red Dirt type situation, but it's supposed to be in like Southwest Oklahoma. And I mean, like,
it wasn't born and raised, was it?
No, it wasn't born and raised. No. Matt was actually supposed to be on this bill, Matt Williams, and I can't remember what happened, but it was like 30 minutes before they were supposed to take the stage, and a tornado just like decimated this place.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, it can get a little dicey, especially in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in Oklahoma for sure.
Yeah.
What about any groups that you'd like to tour with that are like on your bucket list, whether it could be like Red Dirt or anyone, like who would you like to tour with?
I would love to get in front of or just play some shows with, like, I think Dexter and the Moonrocks are awesome.
Oh, yeah, dude.
They've got a really cool, unique sound right now. I really like Dexter and the Moonrocks. Them Dirty Roses, I really like those dudes. I'm trying to think. We've got to do some stuff with Austin Mead before. I really like playing with Austin Mead. It just, that difference in music is just really cool. I think it'd be cool to, you know, to do some stuff with some Okies too, like get with South Hall or get with Josh Malloy or Fletcher or whoever. I mean, I think it'd be, you know, really cool to hop on some stuff with those guys. So
yeah, that I would. It's funny with the first off, yeah, because I think like a bill with like you, Trenton, all them guys would be like, I need to get to that because it's funny because I've talked to all of you, but I've never met one of you in person. but yeah, that'd be cool. And the Dexter and the Moonrocks. I don't want to keep talking about me, but this is a funny story. I had them on here a while back, and it was like I've never had an interview been taken over before. But oh my god, it came to a point to where I was just sitting back here, just watching them. Just they're riffing off each other. They were asking me questions about like taquitos and like frozen pizza and shit. It's like, all right, this is like the best interview I've ever done. I didn't have to say anything, but
yeah, dude,
yeah, they're goons.
That's awesome. Yeah, they can come up with some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, but man, Charlie, thanks so much for hopping on.
Hey, absolutely, man.
Great connecting with you, talking to you finally. It's been, you know, it's been long enough. We've been talking a lot, and we never got to formally screen to screen meet. But
right.
So yeah, I guess before we head out, man, if you have any plugs just to round it all up, whether it be like you mentioned your new music, shows, and like social media, anything, go ahead and floor is yours.
Yeah, man. You can follow us on Spotify, iTunes, we're on all the major distribution places like that, as far as music goes, digital music, and then socials, Instagram, Facebook, Charlie Hickman Band. We do have a TikTok, follow at your own risk, I guess, cause I don't use it properly, but, yeah, just, website, charliehickmanband.com, I believe is what that is. And you can follow, we post everything on Facebook, pretty much. Facebook's kind of my go-to on just shows posted and updates and whatever else. But, yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. I feel super blessed to be where I'm at and, super appreciative for having me on. And, Easter's coming up. Jesus is alive. He will come back one of these days. So
that's right. That's right.
Let's get our hearts right with him. And, man, let's just go live life, man.
Awesome. I love that. And, Everyone else, oh, yeah, of course, follow Charlie on everything, Charlie Hickman Band, and also follow Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Hit our website.
Raise Rowdy. Shout out Raise Rowdy. Shout out Brahms.
Brahms. Oh, Brahms. People where I live have no idea what they're missing with Brahms.
Dude, my best friend, he moved from Oklahoma to Florida, and that's like what he always called me. But I was like, how's Brahms? Is it okay? Is it still there? I'm like, dude, it's the best. I mean, you move, not me.
Yeah. Dude, I miss the most. I miss Brahms. I miss, dude, Rib Crib.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man, I love Rib Crib. And, like, Louis, you know. Oh,
Louis, yeah, man.
Fuzzy.
Hey, next time you're up this way, too, holler, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Holler. Yeah, come hang out. We'll go, you know, see what we can get into.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm down. But, yeah, like I said, everyone, thanks for listening. It's Charlie Hickman. I'm Sam, and we'll see y'all next time.
Appreciate you, brother.